Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Sometimes that music is just too good to talk over. Good afternoon. It's WTIC Todd with you. And psyched to be here as always because there's so much going on. The world is just spinning at a higher RPM than we are accustomed to, and it's throwing everything out of whack for us. Last week, or was it a few days ago? I think it was this week, the Apple decision, the lawsuit being filed against Apple. The decision to file that lawsuit irked a lot of people, and I was one of them because I'm a small government guy, and I don't think anything's as bad as big government, and I don't see what the monopoly status of Apple is. But we have a guy here to talk about it with us. His name is John Mates, and he is talking from inside the world of tech. He's the CEO of a tech media platform, social media platform called Hedgehog. And he used to be the CEO of Parler, which is a more conservative Twitter, as I recall. Anyway, let's welcome John Mates and talk a little Apple. But John, welcome first. Nice to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And do you have anything you want to tell us about Sam Bankman-Fried and his sentence of 25 years in prison?
With Sam, I think, you know, the crimes he committed were pretty big. I mean, people died as a result, right, of the financial fraud that he committed. He, you know, people committed suicide when they saw they were getting pennies on the dollar in their savings accounts. So 25 years seems about right at a minimum. You know, I figure if you rob a bank at gunpoint and there are casualties, you'll probably get something like that or not, if not more. So it makes sense to me.
Okay. And did you have any personal experience with him or any, you know, any insider stuff you want to share with us?
No, I didn't. I've been a little bit skeptical of investing too heavily into Bitcoin, although I love the concept mm-hmm. of the idea of a decentralized currency that's not backed and controlled by any specific single government. So I do like that aspect.
Okay. Let's talk a little Apple, because let me throw a couple problems at you just to start. One is that I don't see a monopoly, given that Apple is the smaller of the two worldwide, the smaller of the two platforms, and still has a strong competitor, even though it dominates the U.S. market. What's your answer to that?
Yeah, I don't think you can look at it necessarily as global market share. So Apple, for example, they might have less people than Android does using the product, but Android is an open market. You can publish apps with Google, and if Google doesn't allow you to publish your app on their store, people can still download your app on their phone and go to your website and they can download it. For example, our social media, Hedgehog, we are on the store and you can access online. But let's say for some reason that Google decides to take you down, you can still download it on their website. Apple does not have that ability. And so disproportionately, the number of people who are using iPhones tend to be, there's a lot more wealthy individuals. A lot of the who's who in the business world is all on there. Mm. And if your app is not on Apple, if you can't get an app on the App Store, it doesn't matter.
You're not real, Google, huh?
You don't exist.
Yeah.
If they take you off, there's nothing you can do about that. And there's no alternative. You're not allowed to download apps off of a website, even though the EU has tried to tell Apple they need to allow a free market of competition for apps. They've kind of skirted around that. And so as a developer, if you want to be competitive and you want to compete with Apple, or not just Apple, sorry, if you want to compete with Facebook, you want to compete with Google, you want to compete with Twitter, you have to get Apple's blessing. Otherwise, they can delete your entire ability to compete in that marketplace.
So really, it's not so much consumers in your mind, but it's more that they have a hold over a particular market from the point of view of the businesses. Like, the businesses can't operate in a lucrative part of the American one-third or two-thirds of the American marketplace, and you don't have access to if they don't give it to you, and they could give you access and then take it away one day.
Exactly. So developers work and they study for a long time to be able to develop apps specifically for Apple. People, and actually my background in college when I graduated, many years ago, I was an Apple developer for Objective-C is the language we used at the time, which was to develop iPhone apps specifically for Apple devices. Years of training, and as soon as Apple decides that they don't want to publish your product, all of that code, that time, that energy that you've spent putting into that is gone. And people dedicate their careers to this stuff, and they have the ability to pull the plug on you. That's just one kind of caveat. But if you can imagine you have an app, right, and you want to talk to people, the people that are on your Android app and the people that are on your iPhone app, they want to talk to each other, right? If people cannot get your phone on Android, or they cannot get your app on iPhone, that makes it harder. You know, if one half of your market's gone, they're going to go, hey, I'm going to choose an app that's published on both stores. I'm not going to deal with this. I've got half the amount of people on the social media product, or whatever it might be. And the bigger concern to me is that Apple has the power that many governments in the entire world would envy to have. If Apple were to decide tomorrow to delete Facebook's app or Twitter's app, there is no recourse for them to get their app downloaded on people's phones. Instantly, overnight, anybody who had X or who had Facebook, whatever it might be, could no longer launch that app. And that's a huge threat to the social media space, not just to those big players, but also to the small people. We just launched a social media startup, Hedgehog. We want to get people talking to each other, reading the news, and engaging with one another again. If we didn't have access to one of those stores, if we didn't have access to Google, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But if we didn't have access to the Apple Store, that'd be a huge threat. And that's exactly what it is. It's anti-competitive behavior. And that's, I think, what the SEC is seeing.
Okay, because I can see your point that it's anti-competitive. My fear of government is much bigger than my fear of Apple is. And even as one of the biggest companies in the world, Apple, it's nothing compared to what a government is in terms of its ability to steal and oppress. So I just always default to, let business do what it wants to do, especially in this case. The reason that people go to Apple is for the reason that they're being accused. That is, they control the space. They make sure that everything works. They make sure that everyone behaves the way they want them to behave. They have a higher level of privacy, they claim, and users do too. And users have an option. If they don't like any of this, they can go into the Android space, and it's, as far as I can tell, an equivalent product.
I can see your point. I certainly do. But I actually think that Apple is far more powerful than many governments in our world. Their GDP of many governments is actually smaller than the annual income that Apple produces. So from a size standpoint, it is kind of scary. And also from a privacy standpoint, Apple forces you to download all of your apps through their store, which means they can track every app you have on your phone, your usage, and what they're doing. If you can't sideload it, they're tracking you. So it's funny that Apple tries to claim the privacy argument, when in fact it's counterintuitive to our privacy to get apps from their store. So I would be skeptical of Apple And
well, I'm skeptical of all sources of power, especially big ones. I just feel like the governmental one is so evil that you know, Apple is where it is because it pleases people so well. And while I understand the concerns, it would be great if there was some kind of way to mitigate those competitive issues without having the government come in with a cleaver ready to cut a great company into pieces, or cut a chunk of it away, or to change their business model. But their business model has always been based on the fact that they control everything, and it's a nicer space that's more reliable as a result.
So I view this a little bit differently, in that I feel that Apple doesn't need to necessarily be cut up to solve this problem. They just need to allow people to publish their own apps and separately from the App Store. If people are allowed to use their own credit card processors and they're, you know, not pay Apple's mandatory 30% digital purchase fee, and people are allowed to, and which, by the way, that cost gets pushed onto consumers and inflates the how expensive it is to use digital products on the ecosystem. And also, if you had a free market of apps out there to be able to get your own apps from sideloading off of third-party websites, in that event, Apple doesn't need to get broken up, because then the consumer gets to choose whether or not they want to download their app through Apple. Maybe they like the convenience and they believe Apple's privacy advertising, or they want to say, hey, I want to download it off of this website. This is my phone. I own it. I want to choose what's going to be on it and not allow the company to choose for me.
That's where I believe
the line's drawn.
I'm sorry, we're talking to John Mates. He is the CEO of a company called Hedgehog, which is a social media company that is a startup. And so he's got the perspective of the small operator, the entrepreneur, the guy who doesn't have clout but wants to gain it, and looking at this huge, powerful company in the form of Apple and concerned about how they do business. Your company, you said, is on Apple. And
yes.
I'm surprised that you have that status, and yet you're still willing to go out and speak against them and speak in favor of the government suing them.
Well, I have no choice. And a lot of tech people out there are speaking up. And one of the leaders in this is the CEO of Epic Games, Tom Sweeney. He does. They've been in litigation with Apple for years, and Apple still allows their stuff on the store. But they are forcing this 30% commission onto the developers. And so they feel that that's wrong. And there's a lot more tech people out there in the world today that are speaking up about what they view as Apple bullying the entire tech industry. And I can give you a personal example from my own experience. I don't know if you remember back in 2021, Parler, the app that I founded, was number one on the App Store on Apple, Google. We were growing rapidly with over $1 billion valuation. All of a sudden, there was an accusation made that was false about us. Public perception got a little iffy. Apple decided overnight to give us these demands. We need to make certain changes with our app, or they will delete us from the store. They deleted us from the store. The next day, Google did. Amazon deleted us from their online hosting. And it all happened at the same time and utterly temporarily crippled the company.
Oh, I do remember it now that you say, yeah, that's scary stuff. And how did you get out from under that big boot on your head?
Well, we had a good plan to appease Apple, which we inevitably had to do, because unless we appeased Apple, there was no operating and continuing to operate as a company. You can imagine a $100 plus billion grossing company a year was able to crush over $1 billion company overnight because of that. We then heard Apple's demands and came up with a plan that they would inevitably have allowed us back on the store. By that time, it was too late for me personally. I'm no longer affiliated with that company, and I wasn't after that period of time. Mm-hmm. And that's why we came out and said, let's take a look at what happened and what can we do better this time. And that's why I've created Hedgehog, because we want to have a social media where people can get the news and discuss it, and have that freedom to talk to one another and maybe cordially disagree, but put the community in charge of moderation. And that was really, to me, an important takeaway that I learned from that experience.
So is your concept with Hedgehog, we're talking to John Mates, he's the CEO of Hedgehog, which is a social media company. As you just said, it's a media company. And your goal is to mitigate the problem with media access to the internet or with people's access to getting balanced news? What are you attacking?
Well, we want people to come onto the platform and join to talk about the news of the day. When you join Hedgehog, you'll see all the top stories of the page aggregated, and they link to different media outlets. But the point is to get people to start talking about the news of the day. Mm-hmm. From there, we have a full social media behind it, where the people you've found and you've engaged with in the comment section of the news of the day, you might really like their opinions or what they have to say. You can follow them and continue to engage with them outside of the news. So you come and you join for the news and you stay for the community.
And does the reading of news, how do you discuss? Are you talking about the comment section under story?
Yeah, it's similar. So the idea is everybody creates a comment, which acts as a chat room. And then inside that chat room, you can go back and forth and discuss things with people. But the idea that's really different is if you take a look at the social media landscape out there, all of these platforms are very centralized in their control. So if you take a look at Twitter, you look at Facebook, and you take a look at how things are done from a moderation standpoint, mm-hmm. it's a central point of authority that exerts that authority over the people on their platform. What we want to do is take that power and give it to the people who are on the platform. So everybody in the community is a part of the entire process of how they want to protect the community. So we're taking that away from the central authority and decentralizing that to the people.
Would it have the ability to make your own sort of page that I'm wondering about us as a radio show? Could we have a radio show page where we would drive people to read certain stories and then we'd control our own little chat room as a subsidiary inside of your space?
Yes. Today, you could create a profile as a contributor, radio show, and you could post the news that's really relevant and interesting to you, and people could follow you there. In the future, what we're building and we're excited to release over the next couple months here is what we're calling Nests. It's the idea that you can create your news aggregation page. Think of it like there's a bunch of them out there. For example, like the Drudge Report is one of them where you mm-hmm. can have different news of the day and they have their own kind of homepage where they yep. can link to all the articles. You would be able to make your own page such as that on Hedgehog in the coming months. Or maybe, you have a more particular topic of interest such as gardening or cars that might interest you. People could make a news aggregation page around those topics as well.
That sounds pretty cool. Well, good luck with that. Anything else you want us to know in terms of points you wanted to make about Apple or Hedgehog?
Well, I think, two quick things here. One, on the Apple front, I think it's really important for the marketplace of competition for app developers and the tech space. If we want to see a diversity of opinion in tech and you want to see a diversity of product, we need to see something happen about this app store monopoly that they have over the technology on people's Apple phones. And when that's fixed, we'll see some big improvement. And the second thing is we'd love to have everybody who's listening today join Hedgehog at hedgehog.com. And I'll be on there waiting to meet you all. So,
well, that sounds great. John, thank you so much for being here. It's great to talk with you and to get to know you a little bit. And I'm looking forward to checking out the product. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. John Mates is the CEO of Hedgehog. Check it out, hedgehog.com, and report back if you have any experience with it. 860-522-9842. I wanted to talk to somebody with an insider's view, and I think we got an unusual perspective. That is from a guy who's been crushed by Apple before in his previous role as the co-founder of Parler and the CEO. And then left the company and has a new startup. And the idea is to decentralize the power of the moderation and to have the people do it, to have it be shared in a crowdsource kind of way. It's interesting stuff. I like talking to CEOs, and because there are people out there taking risk and struggling to change the world in small ways. And it takes a lot of courage and it takes hard work to be able to enter that space and to be able to make anything happen in that space that is actually constructive. Let's talk to Bill in Suffolk. Bill, I'm throwing you on the air quick. If you can, okay. We've got a minute and a half if you can run with it.
I can run.
Go ahead.
Right now? Okay, so here's my thing. It just sounds like the programmers are trying to say, hey, right now Apple has a choice whether or not we can sell our products from their store. Can you take that choice away from Apple? If I want to buy something and I can't get it on Apple, well, maybe I should get a different kind of phone. And that's my choice. And if people stop using Apple because they don't like what Apple is doing, then Apple will probably change. But it's like if I buy a Mercedes, there's parts for Mercedes. I can't get a Ford part because it's cheaper and use it on my Mercedes. And if I'm making parts, I can't complain that Mercedes won't let me, won't change their car so they can sell me a product.
That's how I look at it, too. But I am sympathetic to the idea of him. He would come back maybe and say, well, what if there's only Mercedes and Porsche? And Mercedes.
Yeah, but there's not.
What's that?
But there's not. There's a lot of choices.
Well, not in phones. There's the Android platform and the Apple platform. And if Apple segregates themselves and doesn't allow certain people to operate, it's hard for a startup to ever have the leverage to be able to work their way into the Apple store if Apple doesn't want them.
I also know there's certain products I can't buy at Lowe's that I can get at Home Depot, and some things at Home Depot I can get
right
at Lowe's.
Right.
And that's a contractual thing, I guess. It just seems to me that whenever we empower the government to come in and tell us what we can and can't do.
No, I'm with you. That's my argument. I'm with you. I got to run. Thank you so much for making that point, though, Bill. We are going to news. Stay with us on WTIC.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Wait, come on. Oh, come on. Why wait? You can rant right now at 860-751-4698 on the Todd Feinberg Show.
No, it's WTIC. So this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, you remember him, the mess he created? Oh, man, what a disaster he is. Anyway, Sam Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years in prison. 25 years. For running an running a cryptocurrency exchange into the ground and costing or stealing from customers $8 billion. Is that enough for stealing $8 billion in an act of malicious incompetence? Bankman-Fried is sent to prison for 25 years, similar to what people who kill do. And our previous guest said, well, you know, his behavior led to the death of people. People died because of Bankman-Fried. People committed suicide, he said, because of what Bankman-Fried did to them and how he broke them financially. But does 25 years make sense? Is that too little or is that too much? My instinct is that it's a little on the harsh side. There are other ways that a guy like him might be able to pay back without sitting in a cage. When does the punishment run out for you? And when does it make sense to stop caging people? This is really the crux of the question. I'm not at all approving of the guy. I just don't know if 25 years is a productive thing to do to a guy. But it has to be adequate punishment. I haven't really thought through what is adequate punishment. It's a tough one. He sits on the cusp of something. $8 billion he squandered. But part of it was, from what I can gather, from having read a bunch on this, was that he was really irresponsible at running his company. And he was a nerd and a little dopey and kind of overwhelmed, and his ego exploded, I think, too, over the success he had as kind of a geeky guy who just suddenly had a business that took off. So is 25 years right? Or is 25 years wrong? And how do you calculate that? What are the factors that you consider when you think, oh, that's not nearly enough. He should go away for 50 years. Put him away for life. Where do you draw the line? And on the other side, well, 10 years would be fine. I don't know if 10 years is enough. 10 years is not a lot of punishment for having created that much damage. But maybe 15 I'd go for. What do you think? 860-522-9842. Rand in Broadbrook. Hello, Rand.
Hey, John. Happy
Hello,
Easter
Rand.
To you. Okay. What is an appropriate punishment? Coming from the all-seeing eye, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Banish him to the slums of Bangladesh for the remainder of his life and let him become.
Well, is taking all of his money? I think he's been wiped out. And is that
how
enough?
How much did he hide?
How much did he hide?
How much did he hide it?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. My guess is that it would be tough for a guy in his position to get away with doing much of that. But on the other hand, there's a lot of money they squandered. And they did run a scheme where they had a company that he used to be the CEO of, and he handed that off to his girlfriend, and she was the CEO of that company. And they would take profits in his company and kind of slip them sideways into the other company and then make investments in that other company. So people were sheltered from the upside of their investments, you know? So they did some sleazy stuff for sure.
So an eye for an eye, 25 years. When he gets out, he gets exiled.
So Bangladesh you want to give him, huh?
Absolutely.
All right, I like it.
Yes, the slums of Bangladesh. No less.
The slums. I don't know. Is there a part of the country that isn't the slums? We'll have to investigate that, Rand. Thank you for your call. It's good to hear from you. John in Weathersfield. Hi, John.
Hey, John. Hey, I totally disagree with you. Bernie Madoff pleaded guilty, which means that he probably felt bad about what he did, and he got 150 years.
Did he really?
Yes, 150 years.
150 years.
I
okay.
I just Googled it before I called you. Now, you have to, and this guy stole $8 billion. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, so right now I'm 46 years old. If I can get into this scheme, get $8 billion, live high off the hog for, I don't know what, 10, 15 years, hide some of that money, and go to prison for 25 years, whatever, 50 years. I had the life for 10 years, and, you know, I can hide the money enough so that my kids can live life. You know he hid money. I mean, they didn't get all the $8 billion. Come on.
Well, I don't know. You see, first off, this is what you make a really good point about Bernie Madoff. But Bernie Madoff was a respected member of the stock market business, of the trading business. And he figured out a way to use his prestige and influence to run what appeared to be a legitimate company for years. And by the way, my uncle was one of his investors. My uncle was a rich guy who thought he was the smartest guy in the world because he put his money with Bernie Madoff. And he was dead already when the thing went down, but they lost a ton of money, my cousins and stuff. But it was more of a deliberate deception, a contrived scheme, whereas this guy, Bankman-Fried, was in business for a few years, and it kind of took off and ran out of control. And part of that was because he was a moron and made a lot of stupid decisions, but also because he was partying and he thought he just, you know, stumbled into being a billionaire and didn't know how to handle it and made stupid decisions. So I think of him more as he's got guilt, but he's also got incompetence. He wasn't like Bernie, who knew exactly what he was doing.
Well, let me ask you this. Isn't the punishment supposed to be for a deterrent for everyone else? So the
yes.
next person that comes
yes.
down the line? So,
yeah.
I mean, let's say we gave him 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 15 years? Yeah, sure. Give me $8 billion, 15 years. Well,
no, he doesn't have $8 billion. He stole it and squandered it and went down with the company. He had no money to pay back his investors because the money was gone through mismanagement and irresponsibility.
You don't think he squandered, I don't know, $10 million to somewhere, and when he gets out, he's going to have the $10 million? So let's say he got 15 years.
I'd be very surprised just because it's such a high-profile case, but I can't say you're wrong. It just doesn't. I think, you know, the system crushes people when it needs to make itself look legitimate, and I feel like he's one of those people.
I don't think it's a deterrent if you do less than 25 years.
All right. Thank you for that opinion. It makes a lot of sense. I can't say you are wrong. 860-522-9842. Pete, East Hartford. Hi, Pete.
Hey. 25 years? No way. He should get the firing squad.
Now, the firing squad sounds appealing just for its cleanliness.
Absolutely. You know, he and Madoff, one of the many reasons people have a dislike for Jews. Okay, this is...
Because of him and Madoff?
Yeah, because they're scumbags. They're, you know, because these two guys, I'm not saying Jewish people in total, but, you know, a lot of them make the news, and some of the... I personally had an experience back from Long Island. But anyhow, that's another story. Firing squad, that's what I vote for. Let's switch over to yesterday's subject about the pregnancies. I have a reaction to this older woman called, and she said two people have sex, and then they have the consequences. Come on, that's so negative. What do you mean, consequences? That makes somebody getting pregnant so negative? How about use the word responsibility? You get pregnant, a couple gets pregnant, and now
wasn't that the point she was making? If I've got the right person, I think she was making
that
argument.
I don't like that word.
Well, all right, but you're being a little nitpicky because consequences can be positive consequences. I invested money. The consequence was I made a ton of money, and then I got the shaft because Bankman-Fried was the guy. You know, it could go both ways.
It just tends to kind of be
judgmental.
Like, just sound like judgmental, negative. Yeah. And one last thing.
Yes,
kids are the most wonderful and the worst things that can happen in your life. Okay? And it's a beautiful mishmash. You know, it just blends together.
Well, that's the part of it I think you can't take lightly. That's in order. We're designed to go through that experience that you're describing, Pete.
Yep. I went through hell with one. And he's in, and oh my God, now I'm being rewarded.
Good.
Okay. And then I went through, and then I went through heaven with the female, his sister,
uh-huh.
and now I'm going through hell. So it's a flip flop. So again, the plus and the minus, it's all about having kids. And people need to stop the selfishness and reproduce. Have a family. Don't be selfish. I don't care even if you think it's going to make you broke. Create a family. That's what it's all about.
Well, by the way, it's never been easier to make the decision to have kids and to be able to get by. I mean, one person said they weren't having kids because he didn't know how he'd pay for college. Well, so they don't go to college. What's the big deal?
Yeah, and that's so many years down the road. I mean, come on, that's
yes.
18, right? Think about it.
Yes.
He's thinking way down the road. He can't pay for college. How about paying for diapers?
Pete, got to go. Thank you, sir. 860-522-9842. We'll take more calls in just a minute on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
It's WTIC. We're talking about Sam Bankman-Fried, 25 years in prison. He robbed his investors of $8 billion by finagling, doing things that were illegal, maybe not knowing because he was such a dope, a really smart dope, but he really messed up his company and squandered $8 billion of investor money that they can't get back. So 25 years seems to me excessive. Well, at least that's where I started off. You might be convincing me. Let's talk to Dave in the Locks first. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Todd. I just have a little note to add to this. It may be a little harsh punishment. Not that I don't disagree with what he got, but he showed no remorse for what he did. And that angered the judge and the prosecution. So I think they threw the book at him just for being cocky.
Mm-hmm. And do you think remorse should matter?
I really don't. But when people are in power and they want you to kiss their butt, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They almost want to hear that. And if you don't give them what they want to hear, they call the shots.
They do. That's true.
So, I think you're on to maybe he did get a little harsher punishment than he should have, but I mean, that's the way the cookies crumble, I guess, you know?
Well, yes, and he's a guy who ate a lot of cookies. So a good point, Dave. Thank you for that. Hank is in Portland. Hi, Hank.
Hi. I think that he got 25 years was just. It might have been too little.
And how do you do that calculation? What are you basing that thinking on?
Well, I was following the trial because I'm into crypto, and he had an unethical relationship with the Securities and Exchange Commissioner Gensler. It came out that his parents were also helping him move money around, and they were all teachers, I think, at like MIT, dealing in cryptology, and he relocated from Hong Kong to the Bahamas, where the money can't be touched. And I think that a lot of the people's money is still frozen and locked up in the Bahamas. So there could be a chance that he does have a little money put aside because it's out of the jurisdiction of the government to even go over there and really get the money. It's been seized and locked up in the Bahamas. And I also remember seeing on Fox and reading a couple of articles. I don't think it went exactly the way that Fox said it, but they said he was also using the money to influence elections and giving certain amount of money to the Democrats and the Republicans and trying to influence elections. So I know his appearance is a little deceiving, but I think he knew a little more of what he was doing than he may appear to.
All right. Well, I'd forgotten about his parents and them being complicit, allegedly. So thank you for that, Hank. 860-522-9842. We'll take more phone calls during the next half hour. And you can rant on this as well, 860-751-4698. It's an amazing case because there is so much money involved. He was so young and so dumb and became so powerful in the world of crypto. Anybody have investments in crypto? I'd like to, as a little sideline, I wouldn't mind talking about that. Really? BPS Lawyers Traffic Center, Mark Christopher, I hear, is back in town after a long vacation. Hope you're all rested up.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.